Let's all stand together.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
Let's get around and welcome each other.
Your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Love the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I will sing the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. Soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. With all my heart, and all my soul, with all my mind, and all my strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
How's everyone doing? Everybody get a hug? That's great. We're gonna sing I Will Love You, and you guys are gonna repeat, okay? Nathan's gonna lead you guys. Here we go.
I will love you.
Serve you.
it with all my strength. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service this morning. First off is a very special announcement about Joe and Horvath and his dear wife celebrating 35 years of marriage. Woo! Praise the Lord, that's great. Just a few announcements this morning. You'll notice in your bulletin there's an insert for the month, but unfortunately it was printed June instead of July. So we apologize for any inconvenience that this has suffered or caused. Change it to July. This is not June. It's supposed to be July. So the next announcement concerns the prayer over Uniontown. This will take place July 29th at 6 p.m. There'll be carpooling and probably a van or a bus leaving from here at that time. To meet at the cross up in Germanville, the big white cross that you can see from miles away. And a very important event to pray for the souls and hearts of those in Uniontown, that they might be reached for Christ, and for God to be working in this area in the next few months and years ahead. So come and join us if you can. On Sunday, the 15th of July, there's going to be a very special event. There's going to be an auction of a picnic lunch. And this is very special. It's to raise funds for a camp. And what they're going to do is auction a lunch off made by someone here at the church. And the winner will get to eat that picnic lunch and enjoy the fellowship of the one who prepared the picnic lunch. And so it'll be a chance for you to get to know some of the families here in Calvary. So keep that in mind. That'll be after the service on Sunday morning, July the 15th. And now for a very special announcement. As you know, in the past, we've not had a missionary conference for several years. But this year, that's all going to change. We're planning a missionary conference in mid-September of this year. Now, we need to have a planning session. And we need some help. We need lots of help. We need people to brainstorm for ideas and people to help in carrying this out to completion and make it a big success. And so the planning meeting will be Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock at our house, and there are directions to our house in the back of the church. The Parsons House on Redwood Avenue, off Route 40, very easy to find. It'll be a covered dish dinner at 1 o'clock, and we need your help. This is an opportunity for you to serve the Lord and to help out in the ministry here at church. It doesn't require a lot of effort or a lot of time, but it'll be fun. And in the past, we've had a great time with missionary conferences. If you've ever been here in the past when we've had those conferences, it's a good time of fellowship and fun, and sitting under the sound of God's word from a missionary. So please pray about coming out Saturday the 14th of July and joining in with us. And it'll be a good time of fellowship. Now, I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy a video of this past week's activities.
All right, let's all stand up together. Thank you so much, Lee, for putting that video together to highlight Mega Sports Camp. It was a lot of fun. We had a blast. Thank you so much for everyone who volunteered. I know it was a lot of work, but it was definitely worth it. And that video will be available on our website, yourcbcfamily.org. It'll also be on our Facebook and YouTube and all of the above. So check it out and share it with your friends. Let's continue with Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be your name.
plentiful. Your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Found in a desert place. Or walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name.
New, and it talks about how God has given us the opportunity to invite him into our hearts and make all things new. And you know, I don't know about you, but I know for myself, this constant struggle and this battle in my life that I want to do the right thing. I want to serve God. I want to be the man that I need to be to my wife and my kids and everything. And constantly, every day, it's like I just... it's not quite there yet. Not quite there yet. And, you know, this verse that this song is written by says that we are a new creature in Christ. And every day we can go to God and say, Lord, make me new again today. Make me new again today. And that's what this song is about.
Lost the old.
Scripture that you would be pleased, you'd be glorified in our city. Challenge us this morning, Lord, to love others as ourselves, Lord, to be Jesus Christ to our neighbors, and to change this world for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes I fail, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond. Above all else.
soul. I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. The art of losing my soul in bringing you grace everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ends. Your glory goes beyond all. Yeah, my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all pain. The cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending. Your glory goes beyond all pain. The cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out for me. Inside out, Lord. My soul cries out. We'll be right back.
judgment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his glory,
we are healed by your sacrifice and the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price.
Crushed for our sins, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed.
Let's sing "By his wounds" one more time.
And by his wounds, we are healed.
Thank you. You may be seated.
If you have your Bibles this morning, open them to Psalms 146, if you will, please. The thing that sticks out to me in Psalm 146 is the word Lord. In my Scofield Bible, it's four capital letters, L-O-R-D, all capitalized. And in my Bible, it that signifies the Hebrew word Jehovah. Jehovah means the self-existing one who reveals himself. Nobody created him. He created everybody. He created everything. And he reveals himself to us. And you'll notice in this psalm that he reveals himself by the things that he does for us. Just think about those things. And as we're reading this psalm, think about what he does for you. And the fact that he always was, he always will be. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, and please help me on the even-numbered verses, if you will. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God, while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that every day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. By the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even the God of Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And Father God, we thank you for being Lord. Lord, it's our desire that you be Lord over our lives. I know many times we stray, Lord. We try to go our own way, Lord, but you correct us many times. You put us into trials and situations where the best way is to turn back to you, Lord. And we thank you for that guidance in our lives. We thank you for caring about us, for all that you do for us. We thank you for being the everlasting Lord who reveals himself to us. Lord, and it's just amazing the ways that you do reveal yourself to us, Lord. Just by answered prayer and situations in life that draw us, make us stronger. They draw us closer to you, Lord. That's just amazing to us. Lord, we bring our petitions to you this morning, Lord, because you do answer them. Lord, we pray for our unsaved loved ones that don't know your Son, that need to know him, to know that that he died for them, Lord. You gave your only Son, and he gave his life so that we might have life, Lord. So thank you so much for that. We ask you to bring our unsaved loved ones to know him also. We pray for our missions conference that's going to happen in September, Lord. We ask you to bless the Johnsons in their mission, Lord, that they're now on leave from it. But, Lord, help them be renewed. Help them get their strength back. Get their spiritual revival in their lives, Lord, so that they can go back onto the missions field and serve you with all their heart. Lord, I pray for all the kids and Brent's wife, Lord, that you just give them the strength, Lord, to endure through what you have assigned Brent and his family to do. Lord, for Barb Bosley, that's still having complications. I don't know for a fact that this is what it is, but she had a blood clot in her legs, Lord, and Lord, we know that you can heal things like that. We know also that you put us through physical difficulties, Lord, so that we can rely on you and we can turn to you, Lord. So I ask you to use this in Barb's life to give her that total reliance on you for that healing. And Lord, we do ask you to give her that healing. Lord, we also pray for those things that the rest of the people in this congregation this morning here have that are issues that I don't have on my paper, Lord, but they all have them in their heart. The things that are heavy on their heart, Lord, weighing on them, and they're a burden to them, Lord, we ask you to take them from them. I ask that you allow them to give them to you, Lord, so that you can carry those burdens and you can solve those problems. But Lord, we also ask that you be with Roger and Gloria Markley this morning as they sing for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. With Joe telling y'all and everybody else telling you about the prayer at the cross for the city of Uniontown, with the 4th of July coming up, I picked this song to try to help America out. Blessed her then, Lord, and we kind of just took it for granted, and we never did ask again. So just hold her hand, God, that's all. And if she stumbles, don't let her fall. I hear about what's wrong with America today. And when you don't have a lot of book learning, I guess there's a lot of things that you don't understand. The one thing I do know, Lord, is just like a mother do. All I am or ever hope to be, I owe to you and I owe to her.
Oh, North America again.
People have forgotten the role you played in America's greatness. And honesty and character, it just don't seem much to our leaders anymore. But when, Lord, when you were involved, America was like a beacon to the world. And with your help, Lord, she can be again. So please, God, would you please bless America again.
America again. You've seen all the trouble that she's been. Watch her pretty face, cry her eyes and then.
Amen. Thank you. Roger and Gloria. Thank you. All right. All right. Well, I guess the children are already out of here. God bless America again. I'll tell you what. You know how we do that? Is get into this a little bit more, right? Amen. Get into His Word. You want blessed? And that, you know, it's funny that all this has been coming right around to the message this morning. It's faith to obey. It's about obedience. And to we want to go to James chapter 1, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. But happy 4th of July, everybody. It's awesome. You know, I kind of like the fact that it's in the middle of the week because you get two Mondays, two Fridays, right? You have to wake up and, you know, after that day off and then go to work and whatever. I used to like it in the middle because of the two Fridays. I didn't necessarily like it because of the two Mondays. But I do like Mondays now because I'm off on Monday. That's my weekend, I guess. So I really enjoy that. But anyway, we had a great time last week, Mega Sports Camp. You saw some of the pictures and it just did an awesome job. We had about 25 kids throughout the week, and they learned a lot. We had, I believe, 10 professions of faith. So praise God, right? Does anybody care whether we had salvations last week? All right, I just was wondering, you know, you want God to bless America, man. We're going to have to continue with these little ones, right? You have to grow them up, because once we get old and no longer are able to get up here and preach the word, we need them to preach the word. Amen. All right, well, you guys got to get fired up this morning. You do, you really do. You have to wake up. Are you just anticipating the weekend? Is that what's happening? You know, you're anticipating that 4th of July holiday? Oh, it's going to be rough today. I can see it right now. All right, well, look, we're going to turn to James chapter 1. We've been in it. We're talking about faith. And it was kind of neat last night in Oasis. Pastor Ron was preaching on faith. And it just, what he was talking about is, I'm thinking, man, he's giving my sermon up. Because it was basically the same thing. Not the same scriptures and things, but it had the same content in it. And it was pretty awesome how God works. Amen? Come on, give me an amen corner. Where is it going to be here this morning? Oh, all right, I know some of you guys are already on vacation, but hang in there with me, all right? This morning we're going to talk and take a look about obedience. And obedience is one of the biggest challenges we have as Christians, don't you think? Being obedient. We often get caught up in the fantasy world that everything looks good on the outside, but really it's not, is it? You know, sometimes I can look at you and I look and see how pretty you are this morning. Well, I do need a new pair of glasses. But anyway, you know, we look all nice on the outside, you know, we look like we're good Christians, and but you know what? We're rotten to the core on the inside. Amen? I got a few amens on that one. Take a look at James chapter 1, verse 22, beginning in 22. It says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Man, I like that. We should read that every morning when we wake up. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. God, we thank you that we have an opportunity to be blessed. Thank you for the hearts here today that desire to be obedient and to be blessed. God, we just raise this congregation up to you this morning. We raise you up this morning. We glorify your name this morning. We glorify Jesus Christ this morning in this house. Amen. You know, it's all about obedience, and that's what it is. It's all about obedience. It's not enough to hear God's word, is it? It's not enough to hear God's word. Hearing is not obeying. Last week, we learned how important it was to hear God speak, didn't we? We read in James, the couple of verses above the one we just read today. We read it, and it's not enough. God expects us to take the next step and obey his word, doesn't he? It's not enough that we listen to it. Sunday morning we come and we get all dressed up and we listen to God's word being preached, and that's great. I am glad you're here this morning. I'm glad that you read the word of God. I hope everybody wakes up in the morning and they open their Bible the first thing, and then they pray or whatever you want to do first. But you need to open God's word, and I'm glad you do that. I'm glad you read it. I'm glad you hear it. James says the person who hears God's word and does not put it into practice does what? Deceives himself, doesn't he? Yeah. Deceives himself. For instance, a person who knows it's wrong to get drunk and does it anyway is a victim of self-deception. Isn't that right? A person who takes drugs and thinks it's okay is deceiving himself. Self-deception. Let me just give you an illustration how foolish it is to be a self-deceiver. Now, all of you have heard of John Dillinger, right? John Dillinger, the great bank robber. Now, he was a genius. And what he did at one time, he decided he was going to rob this one bank. But he was going to stage it as though he was a film crew. So he gets all his henchmen and they go into the bank and they say, "Hey, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to film a bank robbery in your bank." Nowadays, you couldn't get away with that. But back then, they were thinking, "Oh man, I'm going to be in the movies. So I'm going to, yeah, we'll do that." So they stage this bank robbery and they actually do it. They rob the bank. That is what you call deception, right? They have deceived those people. Now, imagine that the Dillingers go back and they set up this bank robbery and they do the whole thing. And then they rob it and they get back to their clubhouse and they're all talking about how good they were and how, if they wonder, you know, when are they going to discover that this was a real bank robbery and not just a film? And then all of a sudden it dawns on them. It dawns on them that They just robbed John's bank. They just robbed his bank. That's not deception. That's self-deception. Do you get that? You're deceiving yourself when you're doing something to yourself and thinking that it's okay. That's self-deception. Family, self-deception is just plain stupid. When you think about you're deceiving yourself, I'm getting drunk, I'm using drugs, I'm committing adultery, I'm doing whatever it is that you like to do that is wrong, and that you justify it by you're deceiving yourself. You're justifying it. You're saying, well, I think that's pretty cool. You know, it's all right to do that. It's not okay to do that. You're being deceptive. You're self-deceived. And when we deceive ourselves, we are just doing Satan's job. They're sitting back there saying, boy, we can have another cool iced tea in this hot weather that we're having down here in hell. And they're just doing our work right for us. They're being deceived. And we don't have to lift a finger. Now, James chapter 1, verse 23, down 24, it says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, so hearing the word is like looking in a mirror. Do you know what the purpose of a mirror is? Do you? Do you know what the purpose of a mirror is? The purpose of a mirror is for self-examination. Self-examination. You can see the flaws and hopefully fix them. Now, imagine. Now, you guys out there. I'll use you guys. You got up this morning, okay? Well, just say you got up sometime this week and you have to go to work, all right? So you get in the mirror. Have you ever done this? You look in the mirror, you get up. I do this all the time. And I go, whoop. Woohoo! Who is that? Hair's all sticking up. Is my hair sticking up? Hair's all sticking up in the air, and you need a shave. You're all gruffy looking. You got pimples all over your face, and you look, and your eyebrows are all bushy. They need trimmed, and your sideburns, and you got hair sticking out your ears. You ever see that? Huh? I got more hair growing out of my ears than I do on the top of my head. But anyway, you look in there, and you scare yourself, and you say, man, I stink, and everything else. Now, you go downstairs, you pick up the newspaper, you're drinking your cup of coffee, you know, and you get involved in a story. By the way, did you see the story about us in the paper today? Get the Herald Standard. It's a real nice article. I haven't read it yet, but I've heard. Jim told me it was a great article, so look it up. But anyway, you're getting involved reading about that article, and all of a sudden you say, oh, I'm late. I got to go to work. So you run upstairs, you throw your clothes on and out the door, pimples and all. You forgot about it. You forgot about what you saw in the mirror. The ugly thing that you saw in the mirror. Family, James is saying that that's what a person is like who looks into God's word, sees what they need to do, and then does nothing about it. You got that? It's like you hear a sermon or read God's word and you think, you know what? I got to make a change. I've got to do something about that. Like this morning, you're going to hear this message and you're going to say, you know what? I got to make that change. I'm going to have to go and make that change. And you walk out these doors and you just forget all about it because life starts to happen. Amen? All of a sudden, things happen. You worry about going to wherever you're going to go to lunch, or you're worried about what you're going to do for 4th of July and what kind of picnic you're going to have and where you're going to go swimming. And all of a sudden, this message this morning that tells you that you need to be obedient to God's word, you forget about it. And then tomorrow morning you wake up and you forget about it. You forget the image, the ugly image in the mirror. All the imperfections in the mirror, you forget all about that. And you go on with life. You forget about it. Now James goes on and he talks about in verse 25, he says, but whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty. Let's take a look at the perfect law of liberty. What does it mean? What does the perfect law of liberty mean? Well, Psalm 19:7 says the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, James is still talking about the Word of God. God's Word is perfect. Why does he call God's Word the law of liberty? Take a look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I love this word. I love the Word of God, don't you? It just tells us everything that we need to do, and some things that it tells us we really don't want to listen to. Amen? Take a look at verse 31 in John chapter 8. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now listen, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's going to make you free. That's what the truth does. That's what being in the liberty means. James is still talking about it. And he says, family, the Word of God has the power to do what? To set you free. It does. It has the power to set you free. You can be free from all of your bondage, just whatever it is, whatever is binding you, okay? What's binding you today? What is it? Is it the sin? Is it worry? Is it fear? Is it whatever it is? It's bondage. It's putting you in bondage. But the Word of God can set you free. Now, once upon a time, there was a little bird. Not just any little bird. He was a spine-tailed swift. Have you ever heard of any bird watchers out here? No bird watchers? All right. Sue, I thought you were a bird watcher. Yeah. Raise your hand. Oh, we have a bird watcher. A spine-tailed swift. Now, the spine-tailed swift is the fastest bird in the world, one of the fastest. It was clocked flying at 171 kilometers an hour. One day he thought, you know what? I am going to be the fastest bird in the world. So he exercised, and he flew, and he lifted weights, and he did all this stuff. And he did everything that he could possibly do, and he got faster and faster and faster. And then one day he says, I want to be the fastest bird in the world. So what do I got to do that? I can't do any more exercises. I can't fly any faster or do whatever. But maybe I can lose a little weight. I can lose a little weight. He looks at himself and he says, I'm already skinny. I can't lose much more weight. But I can lose these feathers. So maybe, because these feathers are pretty heavy. And he loses his feathers. And guess what? He can't fly anymore. The little bird can't fly anymore. Same thing people think. All these constraints on my life. God says do this. God says do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. It's all weighing me down. But God wants us to fly. He wants us to fly. And if you start shaking off God's requirements, you'll never fly. Family, obedience to God's word sets us free to be what God wants us to be. Christ takes our heavy burden and replaces it with his yoke. We need Christ's yoke. Amen? His commandments are not a hindrance to us. They are our freedom. God's word, his commandments, they free us. He didn't give us all these constraints. When you look in Leviticus and all these things that are going on in Leviticus, and they said, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. It was for their health and for their well-being. If they didn't do this, they would have died of some diseases. So God said, look, this is the way you're going to have to do it. This is the way you're going to have to live. It's for your own good. It's to set you free. It's not to keep you in bondage. The lie and the self-deception keeps you in bondage. Looking into the Word of God, James talks about the person who looks into the law of liberty. The phrase looks into is literally means to stoop. To stoop. And that's kind of a strange thing to say, but the expression literally means, for instance, say you take a leisurely walk. And you're walking through this park or whatever you're doing, you know, you got your wife or your spouse, or maybe you're just walking by yourself and you're just looking around and you see a little thing, it's shiny and it's colorful and it's on the ground. Now, when you want to investigate it a little bit thoroughly, what do? You stoop down and you take a look and you see it's this beautiful color bug and you examine it. You don't just take one glance and just walk away. That's what God wants you to do with His Word. He doesn't want you to Sunday morning or whenever it is when you read your Bible, if you read your Bible, and you just read it and to say, okay, that's nice. He wants you to examine it. He wants you to take it and look at it and chew on it. He wants you to see the beauty in it. He wants you to see what He has for you in that Word, in His Word. That's His desire. He doesn't want you just to read it like you would read a book or a novel or a newspaper just for information. He wants you to put it right here. It's not enough. I know a lot of people who have a lot of head knowledge about, they can quote scripture, they can do a lot of stuff, and it's all up here. It hadn't gotten to here yet. Stoop down. Look at His Word. It's not a casual look. You're giving it your full attention and taking a good long look. That's what the phrase means. It's more than just a casual reading of the Bible. You have to absorb it. Family, this is all about placing a very, very high value on God's Word. James chapter 25, or chapter 1, verse 25, goes on to say about the perfect law of liberty, and it says, and continue therein. James contrasts the person who is a forgetful hearer of the Word with the person who continues in it. James is repeating just what he said in verse 22 about the hearer of the word, the doer. He says, but be doers of the word. This word, be, is very important because it means keep on being a doer of the word. It's not enough to just dabble here and there in obeying God's word. It has to do with lifestyle. And that's why James says to continue in it. Now, I've heard, and I'm sure you have, people who said, well, you know what? I've tried that, but it just doesn't work. I've tried Jesus, but it just doesn't work. Like Jesus is some kind of recipe that you try out to see if you like it. God doesn't want us just to dabble in His Word. He's looking for commitment. And there's something special for that kind of person. It goes on and it says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now, who does the blessing come to? The person who continues in the Word. So, does this mean that we earn God's blessings through obedience? Or does it come by grace? Well, Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The blessing is already ours through grace. But there's something we need to understand. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Family, there are two roads. There are two roads. One will lead you to destruction, and the other will lead you to life. The one that leads to life is the road with blessing, and the one that leads to destruction is the road without blessing. You got that? But you do have to make sure you're on the right road. So think about this. You've decided to follow Jesus. You're on the road of life. Then, this road is difficult, and it becomes very difficult, and it's very hard, and you're on this road, and it's straight, and it's narrow, and you're trudging along, and you look around, there's not too many people on that same road that you are on. And you look over at this super highway over here that's real wide, it's got all kind of lanes, and there are a whole lot of people over there. And they are looking like they're having a blast. And you say, well, you know what, I'm going to try that road for a little while. And you jump over the fence, and you get onto that big old super highway. You climb right over and travel with those other people. But what you've done is you've just changed roads. You're no longer on the road to life where the blessing is. Now you're on the road to destruction. It's a little easier. Looks like a whole lot more fun. And that's not where the blessing is. We're not talking about a person who's on a difficult road in life and he trips over and gets up again and keeps walking. They know that they've done wrong and they've done some wrong things, but they get back up and keep walking down the road. What we are talking about is the person who has changed directions. It's not a slip up. It's a conscious choice that they have made and they've wanted to travel down that path. A path that God does not want for them. If you want the blessing of God in your life, you have to walk down the path of blessing. God is looking for an obedient people, family. He's not looking for people. He is looking for people with real faith, the kind of faith that brings obedience. Family, do you have enough faith? Do you have the kind of faith in God to be obedient to Him and to His Word? Not looking in that mirror and seeing this ugly face that needs to be changed and then walk away and forget about it. No. Or you're on that road of hard times. You're on this narrow road and you're trying to do the right thing and you see everybody over at the beer garden. And they're having a blast. The music's blaring and they're having a good time. And you say, you know what? I'm going to stay right here where I am. I'm not going to go over there. Because that road, even though it looks like it's fun, it leads to destruction. And you will not be blessed by doing it. So don't do it. Get on the straight and narrow where there are blessings. Would you all stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. James has a lot of insight for us this morning. James wants us to understand that it's not enough just to know what the Word of God says. It's not just enough to come on Sunday morning and listen to a pretty message. It's just not enough. You have to be a doer of the Word. If God says do it, then do it. Stay on the path. Look in that mirror and shave it. Shave that face. Pop that pimple. Whatever you got to do to make that face look nice. You know, this morning, we're going to open the altar up. And folks, I know some of you are on that road of destruction. I know you are. I know you are. And you need to jump back over the fence and get on the road of blessing. Won't you come down here this morning and say, God, give me the directions back to the narrow road, the straight road. Get me back on that road of obedience. Get me back on that road of blessing. Would you please come down and just lay it at the altar and say, God, I can't do it, but you can. Because you can't do it by yourself. There is no way that you can possibly jump over that fence and get back right with God by yourself. You have to have help. You have to have Jesus Christ helping you. And He will, because you know what? He loves you and He doesn't want you to go on the road of destruction. He wants you to have a life of blessings. Then there's those of you that have other decisions. Maybe this spoke to you in a different way this morning. And then I would just ask that you come down and just lay whatever God has laid on your heart and just pray about it. If you've been coming for a while and you say, you know what, this is the place that I want to be a member of, then you come down and you talk to Steve and just tell Steve that you're interested in joining the church and be a member of this family. If there's any other decision that you have made this morning, if you just want to come down and pray, just grab somebody's hand, pray with you. Won't you do that? You might be struggling with something right now. Just come on down, grab somebody's hand, say, hey, you know what? I need you to pray with me today. Come on. One verse of invitation, not long.
Pierced for our transgressions, and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. By His wounds, by His wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. By His wounds, by His wounds, we are healed. We are healed by Your sacrifice.
Son Jesus Christ, you died on the cross for us. You took
our transgressions upon him so that we might have peace and life, so we may be set free from the bondage of this world. God, we thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I have an announcement. Tina Black has come forward to join our church. So when after the service, if you don't mind coming up here, and then everybody come up and welcome Tina to our family.
As you prepare your offering, when Pastor Joe mentions, do you have enough faith? It always reminds me of the story of the soldier that came up to Jesus and said, you can heal my son if you want to, but you don't have to go to him. You just have to speak the word and it'll be done. That's the kind of faith I want to have. And all the things that we go through, all the trials and tribulations, one of the ways that we can obey our Lord and Savior is by the way we give. And his instructions are to give back to me what is rightfully mine, and I will bless you for it. Let's always keep that in mind to do God's work. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would give us that faith to get back on that narrow road, to help us understand that we cannot do it ourselves. We need your help. And Lord, we just ask you to increase our faith, and that to help us realize the things that we go through, that there is no problem bigger than you. There is no mountain that you cannot move, and that it will all be done for your honor and for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand up together once you've given your offering. Sing a verse of chorus and blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name, that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Found in a desert place, we'll walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen. Take that with you. We'll see you back Wednesday.